And I'm very happy to say that author Mary Flum Peterson was willing to join me for a follow-up interview to answer a few more questions about her marvelous memoir, White Dresses. And in this follow-up interview, I began by asking her about some of the details of her mother's hoarding and whether or not she has come to understand just what might have been behind her mother's hoarding. What was compelling her to such behavior?
Those are both great questions and questions that I pondered certainly the last 10 to 15 years of her life and since she's died quite a bit. Hoarding is a really, really tough subject. It's one that I thought somehow if I made enough money, if I did well enough in my career as a TV journalist, with the partnership of my wonderful husband, who's a really bright and kind guy and is an attorney, we thought we could wrap our arms around and lick. And hoarding isn't like that. I would liken hoarding to any number of other diseases. It doesn't kill you the way cancer does, but just as with any serious illness, it's tough, and you need some good experts on your side. It's not something you can take on by yourself. So anyone out there who is a hoarder or who loves a hoarder or whose neighbors or friends or acquaintances with a hoarder, I would just encourage you, to surround yourself with your own support team and your own support army. In the case of my mother, it started subtly, and I think it does with a lot of hoarders. When my father left, that's when I really noticed as a child the differences. My father would argue that there were some signs of hoarding when they were married, but when he left and I was only 8 or 9 years old, and that's when there was really like a distinct before and after. It started with mail. Mail would just never be opened or put away, all kinds of mail. And then the mail would pile up so high, she would put it in, she always loved the brown grocery bags as opposed to any plastic. So there was mail all over the house. She loved to read all of your wonderful Wisconsin papers, the Wisconsin State Journal, Milwaukee Journal, and Sentinel, as well as national papers like USA Today. Prolific reader, that's wonderful. She didn't want to get rid of anything that she read. So there were lots of newspapers, magazines. She subscribed to a lot. We didn't have a lot of money, but she was an educator and used those educator discounts to subscribe to Time, to Newsweek, to People. Anything she got a good rate on with those publisher clearinghouse deals, they were everywhere. She always thought there might be an article that she just had to hang on to. And then she was a teacher, so teachers by nature have lots of school reports, IEPs she would fill out because she was a special education teacher, things she would get for the kids, and then that's where it started to really show signs. Hoarders work in different ways. Some people hoard animals. My mother hoarded things. She just didn't want to throw anything away. And she would accumulate things as a teacher, stickers for her students, Jolly Ranchers, Hot Wheels. She dealt with a lot of wonderful young autistic children, and as incentives for them or students overcoming speech difficulties, she would get something that she knew that they loved, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, something. But some of them would be given away and some would accumulate in the house. We had no money, but what little money she had, she spent on discount items at Walmart and Shopko. Those built up. And then finally it spilled over into the appliances. Nothing got replaced. So many things were broken. The dishwasher never got replaced when it broke and it sat. The huge microwave that took up a whole counter in our house, it broke and it sat. Television sets broke and they sat. In that case, when she replaced it, she wouldn't take the old one out. She put like a new little black and white on top of it. So it built up. By the time I was a senior in high school, it was a huge problem where I knew something was wrong, but there wasn't a word for hoarding back then. Now there is.
Right. I wondered about the fact that you experienced all this at a time when there weren't television programs about hoarding, and I'm sure you had really no idea that there were other people suffering as you were, because hoarding occurred behind closed doors. I wanted to especially give you a chance to tell our listeners about an exchange you relate to us in the book. I'm guessing it's maybe one of the relatively few times that you actually confronted your mother about this situation in the home where you are saying, you know, it's so, why can't we have a house where we can walk through the living room? And, you know, she's talking about, well, the vacuum cleaner's broken. Well, we don't have money for a new one. Well, can't we borrow one? And so on. But I find it especially touching when you say to your mother, I just wish we could have a living room like other people do, where people could come over and visit. Tell our listeners what your mother's answer to that completely reasonable question about your living room.
No, I remember distinctly the conversation. She argued, she said, well, other people have living rooms they don't really live in. Consider that. So she really felt like, you know, we were living in this living room and this was our space and she could kind of do with it what she pleased. And the other people, which I have to say, she always had a valid point. She always kind of questioned those homes or those people where, you know, desks, it's nice to have a neat desk, but she always questioned if it was too neat. She always reasoned, and I think there's some truth to that. I think, you know, when people are so, I think just as now we have a word for hoarding, now we know about obsessive compulsive disorder, and some people spend more time cleaning things up than actually maybe getting the work done. I mean, I think there's a happy medium to be found. But my mother really believed, you know, that in her mind, this was the space and this is how we lived. And, you know, it was very unsettling for me as a child. I knew it wasn't quite right. And to your point of what you mentioned earlier, yeah, until those reality shows came on, you just didn't know what was going on. You knew it wasn't quite right, especially as a child. I mean, a child is just learning their ways of the world the whole time. And I think even teenagers are sometimes overestimated. To be clear, I mean, they're wonderful and they're bright and they're gifted and they're adept and they're lovely. But, you know, they're still children learning, you know, kind of what's right, what's wrong on so many levels, including within their own family. So when those hoarding shows came on television, for a heartbeat, I felt relief and I thought, wow, this is great. Now there's a word for what I experienced. People understand that word and I'm not alone. And then quickly that changed to horror and sadness, because I think so much of the nation, it was kind of this rubbernecking mentality that you see around auto wrecks, right, where, you know, people aren't necessarily wanting to stop and help and offer prayers. They're wanting to look and gawk and either feel better about themselves or feel like there's something that they have to tell or gossip about when they get home. And I think that's what's happened with hoarding. There's a lot of judgment, and I think there's a lot of misunderstanding with those shows. What I would also say to anyone who maybe has watched those shows and thinks that the whole problem with hoarding is just the piles and piles of junk, that's not the real problem. Anyone who knows or loves a hoarder knows that the junk is just a symptom of the problem that lies within, and that's easier said than done to cure, if you can cure. I mean, that's a debate within the mental health community. What I found fascinating, I thought when I got to a position, I was at Good Morning America, you know, I'd won Emmys, I'd traveled the world, I had gone to Columbia University and done quite well in school. I never got less than an A in my life. I thought, you know, I'm bright. And now I've got these lovely connections. I'm going to call some professionals, and we're going to figure this out, and we're going to lick my mother's problem. I thought it was going to be slam bam, and it's not like that. My husband made calls. He's an attorney. I made calls. We did talk with my mother. We tried to do anything under the sun: hire maids, get dumpsters there, work to figure out if there was somebody in the neighborhood or the community if she wouldn't let us come over. That was a big thing. So often with hoarding, there's so much shame. And my mother had a strange combination of both. She had awareness enough to know that she was ashamed. And I think in looking back, I think she was also really conscious that I had found my Prince Charming, my wonderful husband. And I think she was worried not only for herself. I think she was also worried for the sake of our relationship, of letting, you know, this wonderful man that was marrying me into all of this. We started to try to help her when we were engaged. And by the way, making lots of trips back to the wonderful city of Milwaukee. One of her things was I wasn't allowed to come home. Her happy medium, and any of you all who know Milwaukee, such a lovely, amazing hotel, my favorite in the whole wide world, is the Pfister. And such a contrast to our house. So our house was, you know, suddenly filled with piles and piles of stuff, and she wouldn't let us in. And, I mean, you couldn't open the front door. She would not let me in, so the last 10 years of her life. And then she would come and look so nice and stay at the Pfister. And some people might say, well, that's just ridiculous. But that was the way that I could see her. That was the way I could visit with her in Wisconsin. Otherwise, she liked to come to visit us in New York. But I've talked to other families of hoarders, and it's very similar. Or even other friends have called me or written to me this week and said, now I understand why your mother always wanted to meet out. She would meet at a park or a restaurant with friends. Nobody ever got to come in. It's a very, very tough situation to take on hoarding, because what the junk is not the problem. The problem is within that person. Something is broken down.
Right.
Something on the mental health level.
And of course, there are some hoarders who live in such conditions and don't seem to genuinely see a problem or don't begin to understand the dimensions of it. It sounds like your mother, at least to some extent, was one of those hoarders who did have a sense that something was wrong, but that doesn't mean she had the emotional or mental wherewithal to really confront it and ultimately do something about it.
That's right. I think, but there was a strange combination, and I think she went back and forth. To be clear, my mother was really brilliant. She was legitimately brilliant, did very, very well in school, met the president when she was in high school, which was an especially big deal back then, before there were as many events as there are now for teenagers and whatnot at the White House. But there was something very much, so she was aware to a degree, and then there was denial. One of the conversations I talk about in the book, towards the end of the book, where I had at that point had three small children. We'd had our third. I'd gone back to my high school reunion. My husband and I very much wanted to show the children my childhood home. My husband had never seen the childhood home. Bear in mind, we purposely got married in Milwaukee. I love Milwaukee. I adore it. We got married at the Cathedral, St. John's, downtown, and we had our amazing wedding reception at the Milwaukee Art Museum. We were hoping in getting married back in Wisconsin that we would have, you know, a brunch or a shower or something, and that would be an impetus for her to clean up the house or for us to help her. I mean, bear in mind, the whole time, you know, we were willing to offer money, resources, anything. If she didn't want us to come, you know, we would hire someone. If she didn't want to do it or be there, we would fly her out to be with us. I mean, we tried to do everything, and we had those resources that other families don't have. I'm not saying we had a ton, but we had something, and it was worth it for us. She wouldn't do it. But in any case, when we'd gone back to this high school reunion, she wouldn't let us come into the house. We could only come as far as the driveway. It was, and for her, that was a big step to even let us in the driveway. And I know this may sound crazy, so she entertained us in lawn chairs on the driveway as if it was a living room. And this didn't seem strange at all to her. And that night, it really bothered me. My husband and I had taken her out to dinner. We'd hired a babysitter so we could talk. And she actually, to your point about whether or not she was aware, she did bring up, she said, you know, I've seen those hoarding shows on TV. And my husband and I were shocked, you know. And she said, you know, but I'm not like that. And so it was very interesting that she'd seen them, and she registered that maybe we would think that she was like that, but she said, no. She said, I'm just tired. I just haven't gotten around to picking everything up. I think she thought she was just going to get enough energy one day to either let us hire someone, let us come over, or that suddenly she was going to have this energy surge and she was going to pick everything up. And I think that happens, from what I've come to understand in talking to the families of other hoarders, that happens a lot of times where I think there's just lovely, lovely people, but there's some disconnect. There's something broken in terms of, and I think that's a function of also self-preservation.
Mm, of course.
So that they can get through their days, because she did get through the days beautifully and functioned otherwise. She was active in the community. She did volunteer work, which was, you know, so odd. She would volunteer for others, but not for herself.